Before we begin in God's word, let's go ahead and bow our heads and come before him. Gracious and loving God, we come before you today with hearts full of gratitude for the women who have shaped our lives with love, faith, and quiet strength. Thank you for mothers, grandmothers, and spiritual mothers whose prayers have covered us, whose wisdom has guided us, and whose faith has pointed us to you, Lord. As we open your word today, speak to us through the example of faithful women like Lois, Eunice, and the virtuous woman of Proverbs. May we see how deeply a mother's influence can echo through generations, and may it stir us, men and women alike, to live lives of sincere faith and godly character. Holy Spirit, soften our hearts, clear away the distractions, and help us to listen with both humility and expectancy. Challenge us, encourage us, and shape us into people who leave a legacy of faith behind us. We give this time to you, Lord. Be glorified in the preaching of your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Many of us have stories of godly mothers or grandmothers who shaped our lives with quiet, faithful prayers. I know my grandmother, which was my father's mom, the one prayer that she taught us grandkids when we went to sleep. It was a simple prayer. Many of you know it. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. We prayed that every night at Grandma's house. Every night. My grandmother was not a Christian. She was raised in the church by her mom. My great-grandmother was a Quaker. I think my grandmother still hung on to the prayers, and I think she did believe, but she wasn't one to continue going to church and didn't, you know, force any of the grandkids to go. But when I said, Grandma, take me to church, she took me to church. She didn't argue with me. She didn't say, well, you really want to? No, she took me to church. That's how I know that my grandmother had faith. I know she did. There's another well-known story of John Wesley's mother, Susanna Wesley. And of course, Charles Wesley, who wrote many hymns. And John and Charles were the founders of the Methodist movement. Susanna had 19 kids. Can you imagine that, moms? 19. You know, but though sadly, only 10 of them survived to adulthood. And yet she still made it her mission to disciple each of them individually. Despite her large household and the daily demands of life in 18th century England, Susanna carved out one-on-one time each week with every child, teaching them the scriptures, catechism, and the ways of Christ. Her dining room became a schoolroom, her knees an altar, and her home a sanctuary of faith. One of the most powerful pictures from her life is of her sitting in a corner with her apron pulled over her head. That was her tent of meeting, her signal to the children that she was spending time with the Lord in prayer and was not to be disturbed. In the middle of a noisy, chaotic household, she prioritized time with God. not as a luxury, but as a necessity. Her children watched this consistency, and it left a deep impression. John Wesley later said, "I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England." Susanna didn't hold a public ministry or preach from a pulpit, but her kitchen table was her mission field, and her children were her congregation. The ripples of her faithful influence can still be felt today. John Wesley went on to lead a revival that swept through England and America, preaching over 40,000 sermons and riding on horseback thousands of miles to share the gospel. Charles wrote over 6,000 hymns, many of which are still sung in churches around the world. That kind of lasting impact started with a mother who quietly, persistently, and faithfully walked with God and sowed seeds of faith into her children. There's an old proverb that says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." That's not just poetic, it's profoundly true. A godly mother's influence often reaches further than she'll ever know. She may never see the full harvest of what she plants, but heaven sees. Her labor is not in vain. In the same way that Lois and Eunice passed on their faith to young Timothy, many of us are here today because of a praying mom or a grandmother who wouldn't give up. This morning, we're going to look at two scriptures that show how a mother's faith and character can echo across generations. Whether you're a mom, a grandmother, a spiritual mother, or someone who was shaped by one, this message is for you. Because God uses women of faith to build legacies that last far beyond their lifetime. And just as Susanna sowed faith into John and Charles, we see a similar spiritual inheritance in the family of Timothy, one that Paul celebrates in his final letter. Timothy 1:5 says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." See, Timothy didn't become a strong young leader in the early church by accident. His sincere faith was cultivated over time, beginning in the lap of his grandmother Lois and nurtured by his mother Eunice. These two women, living in a culture where their spiritual influence may not have been publicly recognized, were nonetheless faithful in the small, unseen places, praying with Timothy, teaching him the scriptures, and living out their faith consistently in front of him. Paul saw the fruit of their investment and honored it. In 2 Timothy 1:5, which I just read, this verse is a generational echo of faith, passed down like an heirloom, more valuable than silver or gold. What's especially powerful is that Lois and Eunice seem to have carried this spiritual legacy without the support of a believing father figure in Timothy's life. Acts 16:1 tells us that Timothy's father was Greek and likely not a follower of Christ. That means these two women were living out their faith in a spiritually mixed home. Yet that did not stop them from creating a household where God's word was taught, where it was remembered, and where it was obeyed. Their faith wasn't just a private feeling. It was a lived out reality that shaped the next generation. They didn't wait for ideal circumstances. They trusted God with what they had and faithfully did their part. This should encourage anyone here today who feels like they're doing it all alone. Whether you're a single mom, a grandmother raising grandkids, or a woman that's mentoring a young person in the church, you may feel like you don't have enough time, energy, or support. But God sees your investment. And just like he used Eunice and Lois to shape Timothy, he can use you to shape someone's eternity. Don't underestimate the power of your everyday faithfulness. Those bedtime prayers, those car conversations, those notes of encouragement, those Sunday school lessons, they matter more than you know. Faith is both taught and caught. Taught through scripture and instruction, but caught through living witness of a life that is surrendered to God. It lives in daily decisions, small sacrifices, and moments of prayer. Imagine Eunice teaching Timothy to pray at night, or Lois singing psalms over him as a baby. These simple, sacred moments built a foundation for his calling. You see, you're not just raising children, you're raising disciples, future leaders, culture shapers. And this isn't limited to biological mothers. I told you about my biological mom. She prayed for me for many years. She passed away about 5 years ago from Alzheimer's. But you know what? God blessed me with a stepmom who raised me from the age of 7. Till I was 18. People don't understand the gift of a step-parent. It's not easy to step in as a step-parent. But God gives us his love so that we can share that love with others. Amen? So that we can share with others. It doesn't matter if it's a son or a stepson, a daughter or a stepdaughter, or even an adopted son or adopted daughter. He's given us his love so that we can share with others. See, many are called to be spiritual mothers, women who disciple, encourage, and walk alongside others in the faith. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher or youth leader, mentor, or simply a faithful presence in someone's life, you are participating in a legacy of faith. You You know, Jan, you shared with me earlier in Sunday school about someone who led you to the Lord, and you asked Jesus into your heart, and then they went away. Sometimes that happens, unfortunately. As a Christian, as a believer, as someone who may be discipling someone, if we're to do that, make sure that you are pointing them in the direction of a Bible-believing church, number one. Okay, get them hooked into the church, and then they will have someone there to disciple them. Okay? If you have someone you're discipling, that's what needs to happen. It's still a responsibility of the person that has led someone to Christ, making sure that they continue on. It'd be kind of like a teacher walking away from the classroom and never teaching you again. Boy, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? So just as Paul saw the influence of Lois and Eunice in Timothy's life, may others look at the lives we touch and say, that kind of faith, I've seen it before. It came from someone who lived it well. In Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, he writes, likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. In verse 4, then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Have you ever seen a tree that's been through a storm? Maybe its branches are withered, its bark is scarred, but it's still standing tall. You wouldn't know the battles it's faced unless someone told you, because its roots are deep and it's quietly endured. That's what a godly mother or woman of faith is like. On the outside, she may appear calm and steady, but beneath the surface is strength forged through prayer, hardship, and unwavering trust in God. Her strength isn't always loud, but it's lasting. Her dignity doesn't come from recognition, but from a deep fear of the Lord. Now, while Paul celebrates this legacy in Timothy's life, Proverbs 31 gives us a poetic portrait of the kind of woman whose faithful strength shapes generations. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 30, or 25 and 30, I'm sorry. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The Proverbs 31 woman can feel intimidating. She rises early, works hard, speaks wisely, and clothes her family with care. But this isn't a divine to-do list to exhaust or burden women. Rather, it's a poetic portrait of a woman that's shaped by God's Spirit, a composite picture of what godly character looks like over time. This is not a snapshot of one perfect day, but a mural of faithful living across seasons. Key phrases from this passage provide deep insight. Clothed with strength and dignity. Her strength isn't from the gym. It's from the Lord. She's girded with spiritual armor and anchored in her identity as God's daughter. She laughs without fear of the future. Not because she knows what tomorrow holds, but because she trusts the one who holds it. Her ability to laugh at the future is not simply optimism. It's the fruit of a sanctified heart, fully yielded to God, empowered by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. She fears the Lord. This isn't fear in a scary sense, but reverent awe and love. This is the root of her beauty and the secret to her influence. This kind of woman may not always stand out in today's social media, saturated culture. She may not go viral, but she is deeply rooted. She's the one still serving when no one else sees. Still praying over her family in the quiet of the night. Still extending kindness when life has been cruel to her. Do you know a woman like that? Someone who's been through trials, illness, loss, hardship, and still walks with grace and wisdom. That's not natural strength. That's the strength of God made perfect in weakness. In a world that tells women to focus on appearance, God calls them to focus on character. Outer beauty fades, but the inner beauty of a surrendered heart grows brighter and brighter with time. The world offers passing praise for charm and trends, but God exalts the woman who fears him, who walks humbly, and who quietly shapes her world through love and truth. Though often read as a passage for wives, Proverbs 31 reflects the dignity and the strength of any woman who walks in the fear of the Lord. Whether married or single, a mother or mentor, young or old, this should be a word of encouragement to women of all ages. To young women, build your identity on Christ, not on comparisons or applause. Pursue God first, and everything else will find its place. To moms in the thick of diapers, dishes, and deadlines, God sees your labor even when others don't. What you are doing matters. To grandmothers, you still have influence. Your words, your prayers, your presence, they carry generational power. To widows and single women, your life still carries spiritual authority and value. You are not less than. You are seen, known, and deeply loved by God. So how do we respond to these women? We honor them. We recognize the spiritual giants quietly walking among us. Those who may never stand on a stage, but whose lives preach sermons of strength, dignity, and holy fear. When we see them, we give thanks. When we are when we are them, let's press on in the strength that God provides. I once heard a story of a woman named Margaret who had been a member of her small town church for over 60 years. She never stood on stage, never led a women's conference, and most people outside her community never knew her name. But within her church, Margaret was a quiet giant of faith. She taught Sunday school for decades, wrote handwritten birthday cards to every child in the congregation, and faithfully prayed for young couples and new believers by name. At her funeral, the sanctuary was packed. Young women stood up one and one after another. There were many of them. And they said, "Margaret discipled me. Margaret discipled me. Margaret prayed with me through my miscarriage. Margaret helped me believe I could raise my children in the faith even when I felt like giving up." One elderly man wiped his eyes and said, "She never had children of her own, but she mothered half this church." Margaret didn't chase influence. She cultivated legacy. And that's what point three is all about. A life that leaves a lasting impact through quiet, faithful investment in others. That kind of legacy is what Paul encourages in Titus 2. There's a quote by William James. He said, the greatest use of life is to spend it for something that will outlast it. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever." Proverbs 31:31 says, "Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." See, God calls us not just to admire, but to honor the women who have shaped our lives with faith and character. Let's make this very practical. See, we're to celebrate physical and spiritual mothers. Thank them. Thank them. Write a note. Share a memory. Speak words of encouragement. We all need encouragement, don't we? Let her know the legacy that she's building. Support the mothers in your community. Encourage young moms. Pray for single moms. Walk alongside women in your church family. Think of Hannah in the Old Testament. Remember Hannah? She prayed desperately for a son and gave him back to the Lord. Samuel grew up to be one of the greatest prophets in Israel. Her faith shaped a nation. The impact of a godly woman doesn't end with her lifetime. Her influence ripples out into the generations that she may never see with her eyes, but has touched with her prayers, her character, and her faith. When Paul commended Lois and Eunice for their sincere faith, he wasn't just honoring their private devotion. He was recognizing the spiritual foundation that they laid that enabled Timothy to become a faithful leader in the early church. That's legacy. And it's a kind of legacy that doesn't come from perfection, but from consistent, Spirit-led living over time. Think of how many lives have been changed by a grandmother's unwavering prayers, a Sunday school teacher's gentle encouragement, or a mother's quiet example of godliness in the home. These are often unseen, uncelebrated moments, but they are seen by God. In Psalm 78, we read of God's design for a spiritual legacy. It's 78 verses 4 and 6. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born. This is the sacred calling to pass on faith, not fame. Leaving a legacy isn't about being remembered. It's about helping others remember God. A godly legacy is when people remember your life and think more highly of Jesus because of you. It's when your children, your grandchildren, even spiritual sons and daughters grow in Christ because you lived out your faith in front of them. As Charles Spurgeon once said, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when forget-me-nots have withered. Carve your name on hearts, not on marble. So how do we leave a legacy that lasts? We start today. We live faithfully in the ordinary. We point to Jesus in our conversations, our choices, in our attitudes. We invest in relationships, disciple others, and remain rooted in God's word. And we trust that the seeds that we plant today in faith will grow into fruit that others will harvest tomorrow. A legacy is not built in a day, but it is built daily. I think I've told you guys my little story of where I lost faith, didn't know what was going on. I was ministering at the prison down in at Wildwood in Kenai to men. I was doing a Bible study in there, and it was from a book. I'm trying to think of the name of it, by Gene Getz. That's the author who wrote it. But anyway, I was in there doing this Bible study, and man, I'll tell you what, you want a challenge? Do prison ministry. I didn't see any fruit being produced in prison. Probably won't. But you know what? There was someone in that class that was on fire for God, and I didn't realize it. And I quit. I stopped. I got burnt out. It didn't look like anything was happening. I walked away. And the chaplain of the prison called Nanette up. Everybody knows Nanette in Kenai. You go just mention her name down there, say Nanette. Oh, I know Nanette. Yeah, she's the lady who works at Cars. Anyway, he called her up and said, does your husband still have those books? Oh, it's The Measure of a Man by Gene Getz. That's what we were doing. Very good book. Very good book. And then Ed said, yeah, I believe he's still got those books. Why? And he says, well, I got a guy in the prison who wants to finish this. He loves it and he wants to get this done. And so I brought all my books, every one of them, and I left them with Nanette, and he came and picked them up from her. That was early on in my ministry. A lesson well learned. But I'm telling you, you may not see the results. In fact, more than likely you won't. The seed needs to be planted. That's what I did. Planted the seed. Planted the seed. Sometimes you're not going to see things. Prison, very hard place to see things. Not easy going in there, being patted down every time you go in, everything you bring in checked. It's not a very happy place. It's difficult. There's going to be times in your life that you may be discipling someone where they may have a difficult period or something may come up. Stick with it. God is there and he's not going to leave you. And he's going to see it through. I share that story because I think it's really important. It's something that I learned and I will never forget. Today, we thank God for the women who have left fingerprints of faith on our lives. Whether they're still with us or have gone on to glory, their influence continues through us. May we be inspired to follow their example, and may others one day say of us, she walked with Jesus, and because of her, I do too. If you're a woman wondering, is what I'm doing making a difference? The answer is yes, and keep going. Your legacy is being written one faithful day at a time. So let me ask you today, who shaped your faith? And who are you shaping? Who has prayed for you, taught you, believed in you? Who are you doing that for now? What kind of legacy are you building? So today, whether you're a mother, a father, a grandparent, a teacher, a mentor, or simply a follower of Jesus, hear this invitation. Leave a legacy of faith. Leave a legacy of faith. The sincere, living faith that once filled Lois and Eunice was passed to young Timothy. And that same kind of faith can be passed on through you. You may never preach a sermon from a pulpit, but your life is preaching one every single day. So what are you handing down? What will echo after you? This is a call not just for mothers, but for all of us. Let us be a people who sow seeds of faith Speak words of life, model compassion, and pray without ceasing. Whether in your family, your neighborhood, your workplace, or in church, someone is watching, someone is listening, and someone is learning. The legacy that you leave is being written right this moment. Let us choose today to live with eternity in mind, to live in such a way that when others remember us, they remember Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray together. Gracious God, Lord, thank you for those who have gone before us, our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, mentors and friends, who planted seeds of faith in our lives. We honor their legacy today, and we ask you to help us carry that torch forward. Lord, shape us into people of sincere and living faith. Where our hearts have grown cold, rekindle the fire. Where we feel unqualified or unnoticed, remind us that you use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Give us courage to live boldly for you in our homes, in our conversations, and in our everyday moments. Help us to be legacy builders, not for our own glory, but so that generations to come might know your name, trust your promises, and walk in your faith and in your truth. Make our lives a reflection of Jesus, full of grace, truth, mercy, and love. In his holy name we pray. Amen. And as you go from this place, may you go with the faith that first lived in those who came before you and now lives in you by the grace of Jesus Christ. May the Spirit of God fan into flame the gift that he has placed within you. May your words, your love, your endurance, your hope plant seeds of faith in every life you touch. Go now to leave a legacy, not of wealth or fame, but of faith, hope, and Christ-like love. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.